We thank you for visiting Christian Bible Temple and pray the following message speaks to your heart.
To pronounce that name in order to be able to go to heaven. I have known them for many, many years. The last time they were here with us was in 2015. So it's amazing to think that 9 years have gone by. And they've been faithful to the Lord in their native Greece, our native Greece, because I'm a native of Greece myself. And they live in the city of Athens, and they have a mission there, ministering to mostly refugees. But they're going to come this morning, and I pray that we all pay attention. To learn a little bit of our missionaries. A couple of weeks ago, we had Dorcas here briefly. She's been our missionary forever. And so today we have Thimis and Irini. And they also know Timo Vardalas, I think, right? A little bit? No? Todimo. A little bit, yeah. He also lives in the outskirts of Athens. And pray for him because his health is not very well, not doing very well these days. So pray for him and his wife, Eleni. Both of them, they have a lot of health issues. But this morning, I also have my niece, my grandniece with me, Marina Pica. She's with us. She's a first year, finished the first year of school at Liberty. And she loves it and recommends it to everybody. If you want to go to school, that's the school to go to. I was talking to Dorcas Harbin this week, and she told me that they had 3 graduation services at Liberty the last couple of weeks. 60,000 people invaded the city of Lynchburg. And Lynchburg has about that many to begin with. So imagine that was a flood, and Dorcas told me that a lot of the locals could not make it to the graduation because of the traffic. It was humongous. And there was a sea of graduates, ex-military people that went to school after their military service and graduated from there. And they're going into all different branches of the armed forces, and many of them going into the different branches of government. So it's thrilling to hear that. During all these crazy protests that we had of anti-Israel people in our rinky-dinky universities here, Liberty students, right, Marina, spent a whole night in vigil praying for Israel. What a difference. They stayed up all night, many of them, and I saw pictures of that. Hundreds and hundreds of students praying all through the night, interceding for Israel. So we need to pray for Liberty. They stand as a beacon in the midst of all the darkness that we are having around us. So without any further ado, I'm going to ask Efthimi and Irini to come here. She's got my grandmother's name, Irini, and that means peace in Greek. So Efthimis is something good. Efthimias, F is good in Greek. Now, tinethymia, good memory, good remembrance, good attitude. Good attitude. He does have that. Yes, he does, right. That's why you put up with him, right? Okay. Well, here they are. Turn on the mic here for them. I have my lapel mic. So here, this is Irini. Securing, many of you don't know her because they haven't been here, like I said, many years. And this is Efthimis. Both of them are going to just say a few words. Θα το πεις ελληνικά και θες να το μεταφράσω ή θα το πεις αγγλικά. English, oh good. Saves me work. She wants me to do it in Greek.
Χαιρόμαστε πάρα πολύ που είμαστε ξανά μαζί σας.
You guys understand that, right?
Yeah.
We are very happy that we are with you once again. You are a church that indeed you are in our hearts.
Είστε από τις πρώτες εκκλησίες που έχουμε έρθει όταν είχαμε έρθει πριν 20 χρόνια νέοι.
You are one of the first churches that we had when we came for the first time 20 years ago when we were young. Or younger. And I say that because now we came back and we have a lot of people that are, you know, up in years and their children are grown up and married and they have grandchildren now. Okay, our daughter just got married. We don't have any grandchildren yet. And our son that we had brought him here in our, as a baby in our arms. He's studying pre-med at Kern University in Philadelphia. And our daughter graduated from Pensacola Christian College.
Nurse.
So she graduated as a nurse. I rejoice because as I am looking at you and you are looking at us, I can see the image of our God in your faces. And it's something very important for us because this image that was marred because of sin, now the Lord has repaired it and made it new, renewed it really, through Jesus Christ.
He restored
He restored, right, the image, his image through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we labor in Athens, and we do that with different groups, I am happy, I'm glad, because we are able to speak English with them and have, you know, fellowship and communion with them. But the most important thing is that we have the Google translation. So whenever we say something, we look at Google and it translates it and we're able to read it and say it. It is not an easy field where we are. We have different cultures to deal with, and we have to constantly try to conform and learn their ways and be able to deal with each one of them. And at the same time, you have to accept them with love, that person or people that are so different from us. That's why we remember that this is the image of God in front of us. And we have to give them the corresponding value and honor to that image. Now I say that because in the last couple of years I've been associated with the Indo-Pakistani church. And at first it was very difficult for me. Because first I had to get used to a new language. That language sounded like that. I had already gotten used to Farsi, the Farsi language of the Iranian people. I had gotten used to the Arabic language, but this Urdu Punjabi language was so different. It sounded like, you know, you're constantly smashing bottles. Because a church was formed in the area where we live. With music. Oh, the music was very different.
Different. It was something like, where is the notes?
Where are the notes?
Oh, sorry.
According to the... I don't hear harmony. I don't hear, where are the notes to this music?
It goes like bum, bum, bum.
That was the sound of it. But when the Lord puts love in our hearts, you begin to learn. You learn the culture. You learn the music. Now I understand that there is music and I can sing it myself. So as you understand, now we have two programs that we are involved in at the same time. We have a program, a ministry with a Crossroads that we started in 2012 in Athens. And now, as the Pakistani pastor came and helped us and worked with us, now we have a ministry in the area where we live with Pakistani people. So now we call it Alpha and Omega Crossroads. In the video you're going to see, you're going to see the Crossroads ministry at the beginning. Okay. And then you're going to see the Alpha and Omega Punjabi ministry. Two different centers. We are FIM missionaries.
Here's the stuff people donate. This is our car. Usually people donate us food. We give now grocery credit cards. Grocery cards so people can buy. We're not cooking anymore. But people can go to buy items. So this is the pictures people that they send us. This is the Arabic ladies. They came to Athene and they said, teach us the Bible because we want to learn about Jesus. They're Coptic, Orthodox Coptic people. Mm. So in the morning until 12 o'clock, they have ladies meeting, teaching Bible, and they go to church. The Iranian people study. After 12 o'clock we have the Iranian people are coming. We have Hanay Man. This is the ladies, Arabic, Farsi speaking ladies. When people they want to engage or to marry, we go to a church and we do promising. Christmas church. We are trying to cooperate with different churches in Athens. He is missionary. This is the people from Hindu people. Every evening. Not every evening, twice a week. So we teach them English and Greek, but this is in the center of Athens. We have people that they're coming, like a medical team. We have short-term teams. Yes, this is a medical thing. And the reason is we want to share the Bible, we want to share the gospel. When teams come, we can go to have a summer retreat, teaching, day retreat, baptisms. Grocery bags. This is our children, Daphne and Apostolos, our son-in-law. Now this is the Punjabi people, Alpha and Omega Crossroads. In that area that we live, 2 minutes walking. some of them they are friendly, some of them they are seekers, some of them they just coming because one part of them family comes. But yes, we have believers, we have non-believers. I'm teaching them their Greek. And also I teach the children, but unfortunately the children, they have to teach them very quiet because we are in the same place.
In the same room.
The same room. It's, yes, it's one room, so I have to take the children to teach them in quiet. They celebrate our birthday last February. We present the ministry in the Bible school in Athens. And the good thing now, that as the church is growing, we have the generation of Punjabi people, but also we have the generation of Greek Punjabi children. So their children are speaking Greek now. So in the next 20 years, probably we are going to have Greek Punjabi church. This is Faisal and Bella, they are missionaries. Our son George and their son, last Christmas. Yeah, so you're welcome to come as, not only to Alaska, okay?
Yeah, in Greece it's warmer than Alaska.
And summer is good.
Yeah, and summer is good?
Summer, yeah, all the time is good.
You must have to live here in Spessera.
From 2004, we have been working with the refugees. And we have seen thousands of people come through, not just in our center, but in other centers as well. Let me explain something. Some of you probably don't know, but the people that they're talking about are refugees that come to Greece from countries like Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Arabic countries, and Pakistan, you just heard, India, because of the situation that has developed in those nations, very difficult to live in countries that are abusive, their governments are abusive, and there's a lot of discrimination and a lot of persecution. So they come to Europe and they use Greece as a stepping stone many times to go to other countries in Europe, like the United Kingdom, France, or Germany, but some of them do stay in Greece. And they come sometimes through Turkey, and there's a lot of situations there where people with that own a boat, they hire it, they charge them all kinds of money, and to take them across the Aegean Sea to Greece. And many times they've been known to abandon the ship, and a lot of the ships have sunk and people find themselves either drowned or rescued by the Greek Navy or other forces that go there to rescue those people. And some of them are in kind of camps in different islands because they have nowhere to go. And in Athens itself, some of them sleep in the parks because they have no home. So now you understand more or less what they're talking about. Now they have distributed them throughout all of Greece. And each city or town has a camp for them already. But then they are there like living ghosts. Yeah, they have no rights. Children can go to school, but that's up, you know, that's as far as they can go. They don't have no jobs, they have no benefits, and no help or of any kind. And at the same time, they don't want to learn the language because they have it in their minds that they want to leave. So in a word, they put their lives on pause for years. And it's a very sad thing because you see a lot of people that are very, very intelligent.
Και φεύγουν.
Our ministry, our center, is like a train station. Many of them come, they stay a while, and then they leave. So we are close to the train station anyway. Sometimes we have in 6 months, sometimes we can have them up to a year. It depends. And some of them leave illegally to go to another country, to continue suffering in another country, and start all over again.
Huh?
To obtain asylum from, in the new country they go to. And Europe is not as easy as here. Yeah, it takes many years. Yeah, it takes many years. They deny them the entry, and they have to reapply and appeal again and again and again, and years go by before they can even try to get their legal status in the country. Yeah, in our country, when they come, they are out of place, or many of them are out of place. And we don't have to go to them, the Lord brings them to us. And they open their hearts because they see the love, and they see that we care and try to help them with their needs, their basic needs, so they open their hearts to the message. So they learn, and when they go to another country like Germany, they end up going to a church there. They start all over again, and they hear the message, and somebody translates for them, and they have to learn another language. Somebody called me on the phone yesterday. This person is from Iran, and he's living in the Netherlands, and he's waiting there for 2 years now to be accepted as a resident. And he asked me, what church can I go to? Is there a church where I am? So they need reference. Yeah, reference to a church, and it's another language. It's Dutch, you know? We thank you all very much for all your faithful support all these years. And we see people change because of the message of the gospel, and thank you for supporting us to be able to continue doing that. Sometimes we feel very helpless, and we think we cannot do it, but we do what we can, and I guess the Lord does the rest after that. Yeah. So we say to ourselves, trust your life in the Lord's hands, and He's going to do whatever He has to do. Thank you for your faithfulness throughout all these years. We are able to do this because you are here. We are co-laborers in this. So we are there because you cannot be there. So we are there because you are here. So thank you. Thank you. This is like... our sister Dorcas Harbing was saying last couple of weeks ago when she came, and I was talking to my niece, excuse me, Marina, this morning, how we work exponentially. It's not just adding or even multiplying. This is exponential. You know what exponential means? How many of you were good at school? In algebra, exponential is not let's say 3 times 3 or 4 times 4. That's okay, but it's 145 times 145. So I forget what Dorcas said, how many people they ministered to in the last 20 years. How many? There was in the thousands of missionaries were ministered to by this ministry of one another that Dorcas is involved in for the last 23 years. And if you reach out thousands of missionaries with their needs, imagine how many people they in turn reach. And in a way, we have a part in that, even though we don't know them and we are not there physically. So the vision is huge. And where there is no vision, the people perish. So let's continue praying. And I'm glad that Efthymis and Irini are here today so you can see firsthand, even through a video and their testimony, where your money goes to. I've always been careful since we started our church the kinds of missionaries that we support, because we want to invest in good, faithful people who in turn can turn around and reach out people faithfully for the kingdom, okay? So this, I hope this helps you look beyond the walls of this church. We need to have a world vision of reaching people, even though we're not involved personally in every place. Look what the Lord did with 12 apostles, or rather 11. I was reading last night about Judas. What a tragedy. Oh, what a tragedy. It's a lot more tragic than we can imagine. I almost wept. And with those 11 people, what did he do? In 3 years, 3.5, they turned the world upside down. We never know what one life can do. Everybody knows about D.L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists of the 19th century, based in Chicago, Illinois. He never went to bed at night without having witnessed to at least one person. And one time he went to bed and remembered that he had not. And he got out of bed, got dressed again, went outside just to witness to a person. Everybody knows D.L. Moody, but nobody knows the name of the shoemaker in Massachusetts that witnessed to Moody. So when Moody gets the rewards up there, he's going to have thousands upon thousands. Well, this shoemaker is going to have one more than Moody. It's just like when you read in the Bible. Everybody knows Peter, right? Peter is the chief of the apostles. But who brought Peter to Jesus? Andrew. And you only read about Andrew 3 or 4 times. Doesn't say much about Andrew. Peter is all over the place. But Andrew is not. But every time you see Andrew, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. The first time, he brought Peter, his brother. He loved him. The second time, he brought a little boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. And the third time, he brought, thank the Lord, some Greeks to Jesus. He was always bringing somebody to Jesus. And he never took the credit for it. He's always in the background. Okay? But eternity alone will tell how many people came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ because of Andrew. I was going to preach this morning. I had a message all prepared. But the Lord leads in different ways, and I want to be sensitive to the Spirit, because if I start preaching this message that I prepared today, we'll be out of here by 3 o'clock this afternoon. In 1964, in August of 1964, a little boy in the city, or a teenager in the city of Buenos Aires, one night, being a lover of music, ended up finally going to the famous opera house, one of the most beautiful opera houses in the world, the Teatro Colón, which is, by the way, a national landmark and cannot be touched. Who would have ever said, with a beautiful performance of a wonderful Italian opera, this boy was flabbergasted when the curtain opened and saw that staging and heard those singers and the chorus and the beauty of the orchestra. The music flowed with the melodies of Verdi. And after the performance, that boy came down outside of the theater and went around the block to the entrance where the artists come in and out from, and saw a crowd of people there not knowing what was going on. And he asked and said, "What is going on here?" "Oh, the singers are in there giving autographs." So this little boy stayed there. And when his turn came, went in. And there were two of the singers there, the tenor, who was about this high, and the bass, who was about this high. The bass was sitting, and he sitting was taller than the tenor standing up. And without knowing, I didn't know anything. Got to the counter, gave his program, did what everybody else did, and this singer, the bass, gave his autograph under the picture, his picture, and put Jerome Hines, San Juan, 316. Now, the singer was an American singer, United States, born in California, lived in Orange, New Jersey. And the boy took back the program and looked at it, and everybody else was looking at the program, and they were dumbfounded. What is this? So they would try to talk to the man. The man spoke Italian and English, no Spanish. And they would say, "¿Qué es esto?" "Io cristiano." "I am a Christian." "Católico?" "No católico, cristiano." Everybody went like this, because everybody thinks that Catholics are Christians, right? This little boy went home. And the next morning, he showed his mother that program with the signature and the Bible reference. And he asked his mother, "Why did this man do this?" And the mother told him, "For you to read it." So the little boy went to his mother's bedroom, opened the armoire, took out the New Testament in Greek that her father had sent her from Greece, and for the first time in his life, he read Utogar Igapisen o Theos ton Kosmon. For the first time, God so loved the world. That opera singer came to Buenos Aires every year. And every year this boy will run, get an autograph, and every time he got St. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." St. John 11:25-26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may believe in you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. As you might have figured it out by now, that little boy was me. My first contact with the gospel was not in a church. As a boy, I went to church, the Greek Orthodox Church. I was even an altar boy, Papadaki. And not one of those gentlemen in robes ever came to me to tell me how to be saved. They didn't even know what salvation was. But they knew how to get mad when they found out I got saved. My first contact with the gospel was in the opera house. That's why the Teatro Colón to me is a shrine. I took a picture of it the other day. I have it in my phone. Beautiful. And I'll always be grateful to that man the Lord sends 6,000 miles every year. He didn't send them there to sing in the opera. He sent them there to talk to a little boy or a little teenager. That was in 1964, 65, 66, 67. Then in 75, I got saved. And in 1980, we had a campaign, a crusade here in New York, all churches, and we invited Jack Van Impe, the evangelist, to come. And guess what? The last night, we rented Carnegie Hall. And the whole orchestra was filled. And who did they invite to sing? Jerome Hines. And when I heard that, I ran backstage and I knocked on his dressing room. And he came out, this huge man, dressed in black, his tuxedo. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. Hines, I came to thank you. Because 16 years ago in Buenos Aires, you gave me an autograph for the first time, and that was the first seed planted in my heart. And he just took my hand in his huge hand, and he looked at me and he said, in his deep bass voice, I am so happy I had even a small part in your salvation. I do that everywhere, you know. And only eternity will tell how many people got saved through those autographs. And then he went on stage to sing two numbers. I am bound, bound, bound for Canaan. Beautiful Negro spiritual. And in between the two spirituals, he gave a short testimony. He says to the audience, back in 1945, I debuted on this stage, singing the Verdi Requiem under Arturo Toscanini, one of the greatest conductors ever. And then, a few days later, I sang again under the baton of Fritz Busch, another great conductor. He says, those two men are dead now, but I am still on this stage singing with someone who is alive forevermore. And his name is Jesus. He was a tremendous witness for the Lord. And what I said, all this story to you today, is for you to realize how important it is to share the gospel with those around us. We cannot keep it to ourselves. That would be awfully, awfully selfish of us. And we are responsible because you, all of you here, are going to come in contact with people I am not going to come in contact with. and vice versa. And like you heard Irini and Ephthemis today say, they're in Athens reaching people because we cannot be there. And they're there because we are here. That what they mean by that is they're able to do that because we are helping them. We are supporting them. And we all work together. We're co-laborers in the gospel. But we all must do our part. I was coming to church this morning with my niece, Marina, and she was talking to me, and she says, you know, Towaki, I love one of the classes I'm taking. I just love it. I says, which one is it? The class on evangelism. I love the teacher. He's got something like 2,000 numbers on his phone, and he tells all the students that he has, call me anytime. They call him at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he answers the phone. He's got a pastor's heart. And she says, I'm so sad that the class is over. I loved it. And I say, you know, Marina, praise God. Praise God. Now, aren't you glad that she's going to a Christian school? And she doesn't have to go to Columbia? Or Harvard? Or Yale? Or Princeton? Mickey Mouse? She's going to a Christian, and I said to her, you know why? Every teacher in that school is a Christian. And they are teaching you good, healthy, clean stuff. Not evolution, communism, socialism, garbage. That's why our country is the way it is now. And the world, indeed, is like this. Because we are all like computers. Garbage in, garbage out. But if you put in good information comes out. And Marina is going to be with us for the next few weeks because she's doing a mini internship in our church for her school. So she was thrilled to come, and she couldn't wait to get here to see all the kids in our church. And we're going to put her to work in some areas to help her with that. Amen? We have to help our own. And I'm not doing that just because she's my niece. If it was your niece, I would have done the same thing. And all for the glory of God. Amen? All right. It was a different service today. I spared you my preaching. But next Sunday, you're not going to get away with it. Welcome back, Alaskans. I was praying all the time you were there. I'm not going to tell you what I was praying. But I'm glad you made it back safely and that you had a good time, though I was coming for 2 Sundays here preaching to the empty chairs. But I'm glad to see all of you, and I trust that you all had a good time, a memorable time. Maybe next time you'll let me know that you're going before you leave. All right. Let us ask the Lord to bless our time as we close, and also the offering that we're about to receive this morning. I'm going to ask you, listen, in our church you know it very well. We never talk about money. Sit down, people. Yep, yep, yep. Sit. Sit. Get in the habit of not walking out on me. I know I preach moving sermons, but don't move so fast. Wait until I'm finished. We're almost done. Now, if your eyes start turning yellow, I'll understand. I usually don't do this, and I don't talk about money. But, you know, in view of the vision that we ought to have to reach out people, I'm going to ask you to be today as generous as you can be. Because we are faithfully giving to our missionaries. You know, we have never, right, Ivan, missed 1 month's support, anybody. And I know it's because of the faithfulness of all of you. Praise God for that. Okay? And I just want to make you aware, give you a burden. Let us be generous with the Lord. Because whatever we give, the Lord gives it back. If not in money, in other ways. Okay? So let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing as we take the offering this morning, that he may multiply this like he did the fish and the bread, and also multiply all his blessings on us. Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray that you be with us and continue to be with us, dear God. Bless the missionaries of our church. We think of Ephthemis and Irini, their family, and their ministry in a couple of different places in Athens. Thank you for their faithfulness throughout the years to bring the gospel to so many and many different people from different languages, different cultures, different faiths, to the answer, their only real answer. And you, Lord, are that answer. We pray now that you be with our church, with our people, with every home, with those who are convalescent, with those who are in need.
We thank you for listening to this message and pray that the Word of God spoke to your heart. To listen to previous sermons, please visit us at www.cbttbc.com or anchor.fm/cbt-sermons.